Patricia Conlon is no stranger to Exit 425. Patricia joined me in what was one of the first few interviews for this podcast in the summer and fall of 2021 in the election that returned Aaron O'Toole as the MP for Durham, his first and only as the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. Tish is the mom of two boys, built a car dealership in Durham with her late husband, has continued in business developing teams, earned a black belt in martial arts, and has become a health coach, all the while maintaining a small-c conservative approach to business and life. In addition to martial arts, Tish enjoys soccer, mountain biking, swimming, and gardening. I am pleased to welcome Patricia Conlon, People's Party of Canada candidate for Durham in this 2024 by-election to Exit 425. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, I'm really pleased to be here too, Steve. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Tish, why you and why now? What's different about Durham riding now versus the September of 2021? And what's different about Patricia Conlon and the People's Party of Canada versus September 2021?
Well, that's a great question, and nothing has changed about me, which is something that people can really count on. I'm a person who's honest. I have an incredibly hard work ethic, a ton of integrity. And back in 21, I wasn't planning to be a politician or political leader. In fact, I was quite successful with my business. You know, I've had an international speaking career. I've written two books, built a thriving business and helping, you know, teams and leadership development. But I couldn't stay silent with what I saw back then. And to be honest, it's only gotten worse. I got a lot of pushback in 21, and people were so afraid during COVID that there was a lot of pushback. And now it's nothing but positive conversations. I'm so heartened by what I see and the support in our community and the willingness to dialogue about some of these issues that have gotten worse. So I feel it's really important. I'm a persistent person. My late husband called me indefatigable. So, you know, Durham residents, that I'll fight for you and that I care. And the amazing thing that's happened over the last few years is PPC, or People's Party, was labeled as right-wing, far right, in fact. And now people understand those labels are not true. You know, I'm a holistic nutritionist. I studied a lot of things that one might consider on the left. I care about all people. And I'm having people across the board say they're throwing their support behind me. So what's changed from 21 on my side is nothing. I'm fighting for this community. I'm fighting for this country for a healthier and happier and more prosperous future for everybody.
Why PPC, or People's Party, versus Conservative, Liberal, NDP, Green, or others? A small presence in Parliament makes a point, but does it allow MPs to get anything done for their riding? And is there a danger in not electing an MP that represents the governing party?
Well, this is an excellent question. And, you know, I used to, as a small business owner, I used to vote Conservative, but I realized they weren't standing up for our small local businesses. When during COVID, the big businesses were kept open, but the little ones were shut down, no one stood up except People's Party. When there was an experimental shot introduced and natural immunity was told it doesn't matter, or treatments, it was only People's Party that questioned, is this true? I mean, should we be forcing children and workers to take an experimental product just to keep their job? So I feel like they established themselves as a party with a lot of integrity, standing up for individual rights and freedoms. And as we both know, if you have a party, a government that moves towards absolute collectivism, you're moving down a slippery slope. And we don't want that. We have to uphold individual rights and freedoms in this country to have an effective democracy. And the only party I see now with an increasingly authoritarian government overreach that represents everybody, whether you are NDP, Liberal, Green, or a non-voter, is People's Party. So that's why I can really unite people behind some of the big issues that we are facing now with real solutions instead of just words. And you know, the other part you asked me about, you know, whether one seat will make a difference. Absolutely. This would make a massive difference. The one thing is I'm not beholden to globalist interests. A lot of the establishment parties, I call them the Uniparty, they are beholden to whoever's their biggest, you know, the lobbyists, the globalist interests, not the people. And I represent the Canadian people, the people of Durham. I've listened to local residents talk about problems with potholes and the ponds and the collective issues and concerns around the mass unsustainable immigration policies when we don't have jobs, healthcare, or housing. And I really care about them. So I think we have to look at the issues and not the party in the future. And I think People's Party has the best platform for the issues we're facing, not only in Durham, but in Canada.
What are your connections to Durham Riding?
Well, as you said, I mean, I came here with my late husband, I think 2006. He was successful in buying a dealership. In fact, the road Conlin in North Oshawa is actually named after his great grandpa. He's one of the first GM dealers in Canada, and his father was well known and loved at GM Canada. So we came to buy a dealership, start a new life in our family. I was pregnant at the time, never looked back. Unfortunately, my husband passed away, sadly, but I stayed here. I've raised my boys here. I've been a coach for the rep soccer team that they played on, active in the community, helping out wherever I can, and absolutely love it here.
Describe the unique Durham issues that you intend to work to resolve if you are elected.
Well, you know, I could talk for a long time about the problems in our country and even in Durham. People are really unhappy. Our youth is struggling. We have a mental health crisis. Now, I've been a resilience coach. As you mentioned, I studied martial arts, and I've taught people how to step into inner resilience with health, not only mental resilience, emotional resilience, and also look after themselves. But our youth are suffering. They don't have jobs. It's hard to even afford rent, and to buy a home seems almost impossible for them. So there's a lot of hopelessness. Middle-class people are struggling just to pay bills. I think the carbon tax is causing so much difficulty for budgets and causing rampant inflation. There's a lot of worry about the immigration policies. And to be honest, as I speak a few languages, I lived in Europe for a year, and some of the people that I really became close to had fled tyrannical regimes from the Middle East. So I became very close to them. So I really care about all immigrants. And one of my experiences is over the years, I've had a recruitment firm. So I've met incredible people from all over the world who came to Canada for a better life. And guess what? They are the ones who support me probably the most. They say, yes, it's a supply and demand. There's too many people flooding in. It's causing societal instability. We don't have enough jobs, enough houses, or enough homes. And even the Liberal government, when we were in a crisis, economic crisis, similar to now, decades ago, they had to reduce immigration so that we could sort of stabilize and then focus on skilled labor. So I think that's a big issue that a lot of the residents here see as affecting everything. And nobody wants high-density housing. We have like someone, you know, building these high skyscrapers overlooking their backyard. So those are some really big issues, and I could go on. Our youth are worried, elderly are worried, people retired are worried, families are worried, parents are worried about the fact that all three parties, NDP, Liberals, and Conservatives, voted a few years ago to remove parental rights. And nobody loves the children more than your own parents. So that bill has caused a lot of harm in schools. I know it's a little controversial, but when people look at the fact that that's really not a good thing to remove parents' rights for children. And I think that needs to be restored. And I think the schools need to look at a more balanced program because our kids are falling behind academically as well. And I think all groups support that as well. So we have some big issues to tackle, but I think we can get there with a new voice in Parliament. I think we can overcome, and we can rebuild better and stronger and build that thriving community that is missing right now.
You mentioned a few things, and what you've talked about wouldn't have been considered local issues really back in 2021. And certainly we've seen the increase in refugees become a local issue. We hear about it more in Toronto, but it's similar here. And so, you know, if we look at Canada and maybe Canada in the world, there's a lot of things that people care about. What are the bigger picture issues that you and your party feel need to be addressed? And do conservative types like the PPC even care about the environment?
Wow. Well, so this is another great question. I'm going to start at the end of it with the environment because, you know, many people might not know this, but, you know, I'm a registered holistic nutritionist. I've written two books. One of them I see right here is called The ABCs of Food, Boost Your Energy, Confidence, and Success. And I really talk about the environment a lot. I talk about the toxic chemicals that are going into our food, soil, and water. Canada is actually one of the worst. I have a great passion and deep love and respect for nature. My father was a carpenter. He was an engineer, but he built a beautiful cottage, and I'm grateful that that was passed along to my family, and I treasure my time in nature. I'm a real good steward of nature. I have my own small garden. I support regenerative farming. I subscribe to community supported agriculture. Many of the farmers know me well, and I will take a strong stand to protect our farmers in Canada. You see what's happening in Europe with these protests? And that's because net zero policies will bankrupt our farmers. They will affect our food security and supply, and they're impossible to reach. So I take a strong stand in my campaign to support local farmers, and I want to encourage them to be as successful and prosperous as possible. So we have Canadian food security, and we have communities with food. It's very, very important. So just so people know, that's a strong stand. I also did a video on my website, patriciaconlon.ca, where I take a stand. Part of this attack on our green spaces is because of this push for mass unsustainable immigration. And when you look at it, not only do we not have the jobs, the houses, or the doctors to support this, but we're building on green spaces, and the conservatives are the worst about that. I take a strong stand to protect our green spaces. We need our green spaces in Canada. What is the benefit of having people flooding in if they don't have jobs, they can't access services, and no one else can? And that's affecting our green spaces and our farming land. So believe me, I'm a very big advocate of the environment. What I'm not an advocate for is taxing the air we breathe. And I'm not alone, I'm not a scientist, but a lot of the top scientists in the world now have come out, like Dr. Patrick Moore, who co-founded Greenpeace and now is executive director of CO2coalition.org. So don't listen to me, but listen to him. And Dr. Hauser, I believe, talking about the fact that carbon isn't the issue, that we shouldn't. Carbon in itself is such a small percent of atmospheric gases, less than 0.04, and that human activity is negligible, and that we shouldn't be taxing the air we breathe. The people who benefit from the carbon taxes are globalist organizations, but it's impoverishing our community. And I've seen that firsthand. I must have talked to over 10,000 people in the last 3 years door to door, because it's a mission of mine to help my community. I made a promise. That has been my life mission, to help people live healthier, happier lives. So people can look me up and look up the CO2 Coalition and find out more and make their own opinions. But I think the narrative around climate is crumbling. Sure, climate will do what it will, but it's independent of human activity, and impoverishing people and making energy more expensive will only cause mass famine and death, because a lot of people rely on low-cost energy. So I think there's a better path forward for balance with nature. That's for sure.
You've touched on environment and climate change. Any other really big picture issues?
Yes, I think what the other party represent are globalist policies. And we see the fruit of that here in Canada. We have almost no manufacturing here. It's really turned into a kind of a consumer and service economy. Our country had great innovation and manufacturing, great capabilities in engineering, you know, aerospace, all sorts of sectors that got squashed. And I think internationally, to be on the international stage competitively and bring the best talent to Canada, we need to start investing in our own country. I think that's been missing. So, I mean, as having a recruitment firm for many years, I saw the importance of meaningful work. We need to create more meaningful jobs in our country. That's one thing. And I think on the international stage, I think we've been humiliated with our current leader. We've been kind of mocked. And I think we need to pull up our socks in order to be respected again internationally. I take a middle path when it comes to conflict as well. And I think Canada had a great reputation as a peacekeeper in the past. And I think a lot can be gained by a negotiating peace. We were witnessing some very sad conflicts internationally now. And you know, Canada's role could be to facilitate a peaceful outcome instead of perpetuation of death on all sides. You know, I'm not an expert in that, but what I do know is that when we send money abroad and we don't look after our own veterans and homeless, that's a shameful thing. The people that fought for our freedom now in Canada are being mistreated. I think we also have huge issues within our healthcare sector. People are dying in Canada waiting for treatments and surgeries. Unacceptable. You know, we have a push for certain products that are approved by Big Pharma that may or may not be safe and effective, whereas really good treatments are being denied. In Canada, Bill C-47 would make it almost impossible to access a natural treatments that a lot of people count on in supplements, even something as simple as turmeric that can help with joint pain. So it's like we have gross government overreach going on and no one's really standing up against this. And that's why I think one seat, a voice of reason, and that represents the best for everybody, a healthier approach, happier, and based on our constitutional law, I think that would make a big difference. I'm really excited. I'm kind of built for this job, and I can act as a moderate in between extremes to find the best path forward. I've been able to do that successfully in my life for decades.
The one candle in the dark makes a huge difference.
Yes, I am a light. And I say to this when I talk to people, I've talked to, as I said, thousands of people at the door because I've seen the decline in our country. I've seen we have a first world country where we have had the highest suicide rate in our youth. We should be shocked what's happening. We offer MAID to people who are depressed instead of having the ability to give them the opportunity to have counseling. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that we can correct. And it just takes shining a light on the issues with honesty and integrity and then being open to discussing multiple points of view. I don't always have the answers, but I'm a good listener and I'm very intelligent. I was raised by excellent parents, taught me right from wrong. We also used to debate a lot. And, you know, when you went to bed and think, I'm right, the next day you would continue the discussion. You realize, gee, I wasn't right about that. So we have to learn to have respectful dialogue and debate, whether you're a liberal or a conservative or a non-voter or whatever. And I think that's how we are going to move forward collectively, encourage. And I do believe we need to start voting outside of brand party lines and start voting for the people. Many people come up to me now who a few years ago might have been disrespectful to me. And I never, like a good Christian, I never lash back. I turn the other cheek because I understood it's just a matter of time. Many people come up, they thank me and they apologize to me. And they say, that's what we need as a leader, a person to speak the truth. And a person who can actually lead in a better direction and leads with their heart, not their head. And that's what I'm hoping to achieve when elected. And I'm confident if people support me, and I will do good things for this community and country.
You talked about almost the institutionalization of organizations that are built to support poor people and to help people who are in bad situations. And not long ago, I had conversations with a few different people who work with homeless, unhoused, and people in dire need. And we talked about for instance, the institutionalization of food banks. And, among them, several local officials and non-government people have shared on this podcast the increased concern for the poor and the homeless, with unhoused refugees complicating the situation even more. And are these connected, and how would you fix this?
Yes, absolutely. And there is some movement on, I see in the news. I have a small podcast as well. I've been listening to other people, multiple opinions. I don't agree with them all on many issues. One of the gentlemen who came from India, so he's indigenous to India, and he came to Canada, and he's Canadian citizens now, is an incredible resource. And he said, we have been flooded so much with foreign students, and they show videos of how to access all the food banks, how to do this. And you can't fault them because it's so expensive to live here. But what that does then is we're limiting food for really desperate homeless people, and food banks are saying they can barely keep up. So I think recently it's come out that they're going to reduce the number of foreign students. And, we just need to reduce immigration to take the heat off this issue and start looking after the people who have slipped down the rung, Canadians. People are fleeing Canada. We have people who've lived here for generations saying, I can't take anymore. That's not good. And then you get people coming, being told that just take as much as you can and then leave as well. We need to lower immigration and for now, until we can solve our homeless crisis and our housing crisis and our healthcare crisis and our economic crisis. I saw a video of a young person. He said he applied to over 1,000 jobs and he didn't even get a response. So how are we going to look after more people? And a lot of the people coming into our country, because I've seen them and tried to communicate with them, they don't speak any English and they're past working age. So that's really, really difficult for all of us, is to absorb that. People are hanging on by a thread financially in many places. And you can see that there's an increased use of drugs and alcohol. There's hopelessness and apathy out there. And I think lifting the carbon tax, which personally, in my opinion, I don't believe is achieving what we're being told that it is. It's being skimmed off and sucked into, wherever it goes. But it's not clear. It's not transparent. And that money is better served with the families to provide food for their families and to pay their bills. There's all sorts of other ideas I have to tackle improving our environment. So we reduce unsustainable mass immigration. We have to rehire the doctors and nurses that were fired during COVID for saying no to the COVID shot. And the data with the National Citizens Inquiry now, years later, after hundreds and hundreds of testimonies, is clearer. And there are issues with that shot. Not safe, not effective. Those people should be rehired. That would help ease the burden in our healthcare system. When elected, it will be my intention to make sure I work with whoever is out there to stop this experimental vaccine, because it's done a lot of harm in our community, and it doesn't provide the benefits they said. It was more of a marketing slogan than an actual fact. So people are getting sicker because we don't have the proper treatment. So I have a lot of good ideas with healthcare. It starts with rehiring the doctors and nurses. I've talked to them at their doorsteps. They still can't get a job in even though they have natural immunity. So there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that I would tackle to help solve some of our problems. And I mean, with economic innovation, this is just an example of how involved I've become. And it's not taken a long time. As I sat at a council meeting here in Scugog, the gentleman just wanted to get a pizza stand to supplement his income just for a short period of time. It wasn't allowed because of the cumbersome and, sort of burdensome communist-like style planning act. And no one could override it. It seemed like a novel to me that they couldn't even approve a pizza stand for a little extra income. So we're stifling entrepreneurship and we're stifling innovation in our country and community. And I think if we start supporting local business, entrepreneurs, and small businesses and our farmers, it as well will go a long way to building a thriving community. Those are just some of my ideas. I could go on. You know, as an entrepreneur and small business owner, I think that's the backbone of our country and it should be the backbone of our communities as well.
You just mentioned local farmers throughout this riding are basically under attack because of the need for housing and the enticement of large financial deals. But that gets back to another idea that you've already mentioned today, one that I include in my video called The Reasons Why, Exit 425, The Reasons Why, which is far from a cinematic masterpiece, but it raises a few good points. And one of them is, how urgent in this area is the climate change issue versus the food security issue and the best farming land. Most of it's right here in southern Ontario. And here we are paving on it because, as I used to teach my students, the best land to grow crops is the best land to grow houses because it's easiest. And so how do we come to terms with that idea that we need to protect our food supply? Mm-hmm. And I think international threats have kind of illustrated that in the last little while with the COVID and everything. Yes. How do we reconcile our food security with building homes at a rate that people can afford to buy them and immigration, which at some level is absolutely necessary because we're not producing the children that we need to produce to sustain the population?
It's an excellent question. And, there's been diagrams. I think a lot of young people I speak to would have more children if houses were affordable. So it's a bit of a catch-22. And I think we could see people a lot of the factors are economic for young families. A lot of people want to have children. So if we make it more affordable to get a home, there'll be more children and then they'll grow up and they'll have jobs, that sort of thing, that cycle. When you have too many people flooding in, it jacks up the home prices. It's simple supply and demand, and then people can't afford a home, then they don't want to have children. No one wants to be having children, in the basement apartment of their home. You want to be able to have a vision of a positive future. We also have foreign speculation driving up the prices, particularly in the residential sector. I think that should be limited. That could be an idea to discuss. But I take a hard stand on developing on our green spaces. I think we should just say no. It should be off limits. It's precious. Nothing is more important than our food supply. We can increase or decrease immigration. We can provide incentives for people to build their own apartments for supplementary income so they can afford their mortgage instead of penalizing that. And, the whole thing about Airbnb, there's pros and cons, but the cons are people show up in your neighbor's driveway. You don't know. Are they reckless? Are they partiers? Are they going to steal something? But if you have someone, your neighbor has a tenant that's you get to know over time, then that person's part of the community. And I think a lot of people are struggling so much that why don't we facilitate or incentivize, basement apartments or extra spaces to rent out, you know, even looking at the backyards and tiny homes. There's ways to get people off the street to have, everyone should have a respectful place to live that's warm. And I think that will go a long way. We have to be able to say no to things that are harmful to our society. We have to respect our farmers and food supply first. Look what's happening in Europe. It's a disaster. We have to understand that the words net zero, they lead, that's impossible to achieve, and it only continues to impoverish and create hopelessness in our communities. When they had net zero for COVID, that was a policy aim. It was never through lockdowns and mandates. It achieved mass despair, increased suicide, bankruptcy. And again, you can never achieve net zero with a virus. Same with carbon. It's absolutely ridiculous in my point of view. It only achieves hopelessness and poverty, food security and energy insecurity, food insecurity and energy insecurity. And again, the tools that you're using and the data modeling is also in question. So yes, I'm totally supportive of our farmers, and I think everyone needs to get behind supporting our green space as well. And if I'll fight for that in Parliament for everyone. Because I'm the conserve, what I want to conserve are people's money, their freedoms, their health, and I want to preserve our wonderful, beautiful country of Canada.
I'm proud to say that I generated this question a week before the Prime Minister used this idea in an attack on a Conservative candidate for this riding in his caucus speech the other day that's been on social media everywhere. So my question for you, and as it will be for each of the candidates that I interview here, is it about representing the riding to Parliament, or is it about representing the party to the riding?
It's for me, it's all about this community. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm wearing a purple, green, blue, whatever shirt. I think we have to go beyond the color of the shirt, beyond the party loyalties, to representing the people. I take an oath to serve the people to the best of my ability and to improve our lives here in Durham and represent nationally and also represent Canada to the best of my ability on the international stage. I have lived abroad. I do speak French. I wouldn't say I'm completely fluent, but I do speak other languages as well. And I'd like to help us become a respected and respectful country again on the international stage. But my primary mission will be this community and improving the lives of the residents who live here in representing our interests in Ottawa.
That's awesome. Thank you. Any final thoughts to share with our audience?
I'm really excited about this campaign. It's my intention, if I could possibly predict the future, I don't know, but we'd love to win this for Durham, for history, for our country. And I really think for people who say I'm worried about splitting the vote, get over it. You need to vote for values. If I represent the values I believe in, I think that's the important thing. And it is one seat. It's a low risk opportunity to try out a candidate that has for 3 years proven themselves to be honest, have integrity, and be results oriented. I have presented to council 4 times. I presented again last Monday on issues that people tell me at the doors that are hurting them. So I'm a strong voice. I'm an intelligent woman. I'm a problem solver. And I really hope that you can support my campaign. You can visit me. And if you are, able, please donate a small amount if you want to help us do our best in the upcoming by-election.
Patricia, thank you for meeting me at Exit 425 today. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, the best way is through, it's patriciaconlon.ca is my website. If you want to be a volunteer, you want to donate, send an encouraging word. Even if you have a concern for the future, now I will be stepping into an incredible busy time with the by-election, but I like to hear alternative views. And I will listen to everyone and try to serve everyone to the best of my ability. So that's a great way. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. And I even just started a TikTok channel, recently to meet the youth. And the youth are supporting us in large numbers, which is really exciting. So I'm really excited about how this election's going to go. You know, I'm the same as I was years ago, so you can count on me to be consistent and a strong voice. As a martial artist, I'm also a woman of my word. So I strive, if I promise something, I'm always striving to absolutely keep my promises to do my best for this community.
Thank you. That's awesome. To all who are listening and watching, thank you for listening or watching to this episode of Exit 425. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2024. My name is Steve Ray. If you have any questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group, like the Facebook page, check out Instagram, Medium, X, and TikTok, or email me at exit425401@gmail.com. Exit 425. It's where we live.